Hey, it's Olivia. We got to talk with Jalen Rose all about Michigan's path to the Final Four, if they can do it. He's been texting with Juwan Howard. Find out what he has to say about the heated exchange with Mark Turgeon. And guess what? Jalen's going to call someone a weasel. Find out who. It's all coming up.
From the king of sports books comes the king of sports podcasts. Unleashed. Presented by BetMGM. Here are your hosts, Speedy Mormon and Olivia Harlan Decker.
Yo, welcome to the show. Now, on our first episode of Unleashed from the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM, we've got ESPN analyst and member of the University of Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose, here to talk about the upcoming NCAA tournament and current NBA season. Plus, later, we take you into the world of betting with our new segment, Lions Lock, featuring Peter Andrew. But first, let's dive right into March Madness as we get into who's in, who's out, early upset watch, and who has the easiest path to the Final Four right here on the premiere episode of Unleashed from the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. And Olivia, you were just in Indianapolis for the last few days covering the Big Ten tournament, and I know you've got everything we need to know about it, but first and foremost, how was your time in Indy?
Indy is electric right now. I don't mind this all-in-one city type situation, really all-in-one state for the NCAA tournament, but to have the Big Ten men's and women's tournament going on the same week was so weird. So busy. I was doing games for BTN, so we were spread so thin. And I mean, it was just fun, man. It's you walk down the street and you see little clumps of fans, you know, all in their Ohio State gear, all in their Wisconsin gear. You see players walking around. It was incredible. And every bar and restaurant is like a designated, you know, Indiana bar, designated Rutgers bar. It was so much fun. And I left Saturday morning now as the Big Ten tournament was winding down. So I feel like I was just leaving a party early, which was really heartbreaking because I didn't want to leave. It was just so fun. But, you know, work assignments done, you got to go home. But I had a blast in Indy. And then I was on pins and needles waiting for the bracket release.
So now Selection Sunday has come and gone. The bracket is out. We've all seen it. We've all tried our best to predict who is going to win it all and even who's going to go to the Final Four. But Olivia, I'm wondering, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the bracket?
Well, I think if you've never competed in a bracket tournament, you know, with your buddies or coworkers, this is the year to do it because with COVID, so many games were canceled. I think just about 80% of scheduled games were played. So to think 20% of the season was just out of there. And obviously different teams hurt in different ways, but it's kind of anyone's game because I think the seeding was kind of funky. As it came out, people were like, oh, they're so much better than a 9 seed. They're so much worse than a 3 seed, you know. So I think in this weird COVID year, it's going to lend itself to some crazy bracket nonsense. So if you've never competed in it, make it this year and pick on all the fun things. You know, I like this mascot better. I like their colors better. My cousin's ex-boyfriend went to that school. I'm going to go there. So I think this is the year to have a ton of fun with the bracket. So first and foremost, I think this bracket's going to be a mess because I don't know how well teams were seeded. But then I think just initial reaction, you look at 16 of the 68 bids belong to the Big Ten and Big 12. So that's huge. The Big Ten is the deepest conference in the country right now. It's crazy. It's the Ohio State coach, Chris Holtmann, he even compared it to SEC football. He said, we're finally at that level that the Big Ten is the monster conference. And obviously they have 2 1-seeds, Michigan and Illinois. It's just a great year. I'm a little biased because I cover the conference, but it's just a great year for the Big Ten. Michigan getting the 1 seed, I think, was a big deal. And then the headliner, Gonzaga, undefeated, #1 overall seed. And the #1 overall seed hasn't won at all since Louisville. That was 2013, so what, 8 years ago. And people think they've got a pretty clear path to make it not only to a Final Four, but to win it all. Their seeding was very generous. Their region is very generous. Other thing that kind of sticks out to me, obviously no Duke or Kentucky. It's the first time since 1976, and people are going crazy over these parallels because the last time Duke and Kentucky were not in the tournament, 1976, Indiana wins it all and they were undefeated. And guess what, Speedy? Their record was 32-0, which would be exactly Gonzaga's record if they remain undefeated. Those are kind of the treetops, if you will.
Wow. And that's crazy. We all know that 2020 has been a weird year. 2021 has been weird as well. But who knew it would be this weird with Duke and Kentucky not making the tournament? So obviously not something that we're used to. But I know that there's things that are going to be a little different this year with the NCAA tournament. Some teams are not even locked into play, but are going to be quarantining and kind of on deck. Is that right?
Okay, so here's basically the facts you need to know. Tuesday night, which is when this airs Thursday, this will be a couple nights ago, we will have an answer. We're recording this on Monday. Tuesday at 6 p.m. is the deadline to clear medical testing. And the craziest part is to clear medical testing and for your team to be eligible, you only need 5 players. And I was laughing, like, I mean, there could be teams who have 5 players and are playing. So that's just the weirdest thing.
And one of them could be that bio major with the mid-range jumper. That's yes. That's not that good.
It might be. No, he might be like the coach's son who like wanted to be a part of the group. He might be playing. But the teams that are next in, and this is the weird part, it's like being on standby for a flight. So these teams, Louisville, Ole Miss, St. Louis University, go Billikens, Colorado State, those are the 4 teams who are on the standby list at the airport. So they are truly quarantining. They are ready to play. And they're just hoping, you know, one of these teams, it could be anyone right now. Obviously, we think it's probably a Virginia or a Kansas that has a problem. And let me actually go into that because Virginia, everyone's looking at that. They're a 4 seed. They're hoping to practice by Thursday at the earliest, fly to Indy on Friday, and then they could potentially play 13 seed Ohio on Saturday.
Whoa.
So, yeah, that's the thing with these teams that have had a COVID outbreak, like a Virginia and Kansas, who had to leave their conference tournaments early. They're down a couple of players. They can't practice. I mean, it's so if you think everyone's like, oh, are they eligible? Will they clear medical protocol? I mean, great if they can, but they're not practicing. And like with Kansas, they have the longest active streak and they have this one kid test positive on Friday. So that player went back to Lawrence. They have 2 other players that they think might be able to join them. And again, no one knows who these people are. They're not saying what players have COVID. So that's just the craziest thing. Like with Virginia, there's speculation that it's a reserve guard. Jim Boeheim, the Syracuse coach, was on a radio show and he insinuated that it was a reserve guard, you know, completely not caring about the privacy of these players because they were the last team to play Virginia. And he said, I'm not worried about any of my players having it because it was a guy who hardly touched the court.
All right, Olivia, that was super dope and very, very insightful. So thank you for sharing all of that knowledge that you can only get from being on the ground in Indy. Now, coming up next on Unleashed, we have ESPN analyst and NBA veteran Jalen Rose joining us on the show. All right, Olivia, we are in the presence of greatness right now for multiple reasons. We've got a collegiate basketball icon, NBA icon as well, but maybe the man with the best hairline in all of sports on the court or off the court, Jalen Rose is with us. What's up, man? How are you?
I appreciate the love and sorry I didn't get a fresh cut. I'm in Orlando, as you see, doing dad duties for volleyball tournament. So I'm picking up Chick-fil-A for lunch and I'm ordering 6 a.m. breakfasts and stuff. But next time I come back on, I'll make sure I have a crispy cut.
We need that. That's one thing we need from you. Now, Olivia was excited because she says that you two have some overlaps. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, yes, Jalen, we got 3 things in common. One, both have worked for ESPN, so we're in the brotherhood there, which I love. Gotten to meet you in Bristol, but every time I came up, you know, I'm on the college football side. They keep us far apart.
Yes, it's like 2 different worlds, right?
Totally. 2, we were both married in July 2018.
That's very nice. Congratulations. That's a beautiful thing.
3 years coming up.
I'll kick my coverage.
And then 3, your daughter Mariah, and I found this out by doing some Instagram stalking, is a sorority sister of mine, Kappa Delta University of Georgia.
Really?
Yes.
She's here
so
right now.
Next time you see her.
Yes, I'll have to let her know I just was on with you. I'll make sure that I'll connect you guys.
That's cool. We also have Amy Robach, we can claim, was a Kappa Delta at University of Georgia on Good Morning America. And I know she wants to get into sports journalism as well, right?
Absolutely. She goes to the communication school at Georgia. She's doing a terrific job. She was just covering the Alabama-Georgia game on Friday before we came to Orlando to watch my youngest daughter play volleyball. So she's following in you guys' footsteps.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Tell her I say AOT and give her the secret handshake.
Will do. That's going to make me look cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, Jalen, I don't have three things in common with you. I only got one, and that's that we both have very strong hairline, I must say. Mine is pretty solid as well.
Oh, yeah. You're living your best life.
I try, but we can't all be you. Let me ask you this, Jalen. Who do you think's got the best hair in sports? Who comes to mind? Not just hairline, maybe just the best hair in sports.
So, little known fact, if I could wear my hair like all the way down and long, that's actually how I would wear it. Like, just like I grew up in the 70s, right? And so people like Ron O'Neill and, you know, those blaxploitation movies, I always wanted long hair or an afro. But my hair just won't grow like that. Like, it grows, but it don't grow and grow like and grow that. And grow and grow like that.
You might
that.
Need some soul glow.
Exactly. A couple of people that got strong hairline, Aaron Donald. I try to figure when I watch him play how he take his helmet on and off and it don't affect his hairline. Jason Tatum.
Strong, very strong.
Right, that's a good one. Boston Celtics. He was wearing a short cut kind of like me and you last year and he grew it out kind of to the R&B look. I'm kind of rocking that look now. Devin Booker.
Strong as well.
I believe he has one for the Phoenix Suns. I'm pretty sure Kylie Jenner likes that. About him.
Kendall Jenner.
It's 500 of them, Olivia. And I'm old, so I'm glad I got it wrong.
Jalen, let me put you on the spot. Least favorite hair in sports. Who's got the worst cut?
Least favorite hair in sports? The Orlando head coach. I used to joke on his for a minute. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Because he got the brains blown, as we call it. You know, he got the drop top.
The drop.
I hope he can't hear you in Orlando. You might want to make sure this airs Thursday. You're in Orlando right now, my man.
Exactly. I would say probably his is one that stood out. But you know what? We were doing something at my MGM shoot, and they were showing me some old players and trying to get me to guess their hair. And I actually just thought of the answer. Chris Kamen.
Chris Kamen, old Clipper?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Google a picture of Chris Kamen's hair, my fellow Michigander. He didn't care at all.
Not even a little bit.
So he's probably the answer to the question.
Well, let's pick up right there with Michigan, actually. Obviously, the bracket was just released. We're recording this on Monday. Everyone's digesting it.
Mm-hmm.
But without Isaiah Livers, a lot of people are kind of poo-pooing on Michigan with no bias attached. What do you think about their seeding and their road? Because it looks pretty rough from where I'm sitting.
It does look rough. But you know what? I was thinking about this when I saw Juwan get into it with Coach Turgeon the other day. Like, that's the Fab Five way. I think now when people like see us as adults, they can appreciate how we've matured. But for those people who were covering sports during that time, and playing sports during that time, we were as disliked as it came. And so when the brackets first came out, I text Juwan, is like, no surprise. Let's go do this.
Mm.
Like, you ain't going to see him one time talk about how tough the path is. They can't win without Isaiah. I love Isaiah. He's a senior. He came back to play with us along with Wagner. And you hate to see a young man get injured going into the NCAA tournament of all places, and probably his injury is going to keep him out the 4 or 5 weeks that the actual NCAA tournament is happening.
Mm.
And so we're going to miss him a lot. And you guys saw that during the Big Ten tournament. He's a scorer. He's a co-captain. He's a ball handler. He initiates offense. So that does hurt our chances. It really does hurt our chances a lot. But I still think we have what it takes to get to the Final Four. And once that happens, you know, anything can take place.
Okay, yeah. Big Ten was stacked this year, got 2-1 seeds. I was going to ask you about the exchange of words between Juwan and Mark Turgeon. I saw in his post-game presser, he said, you know, I was raised by the South Side of Chicago. I was raised by my grandma who, you know, you show respect on my name. You don't talk to me like that. I loved everything he said post-game. Did he say anything to you? I mean, obviously we don't know what was said, but did he say anything to you about the exchange?
Well, I was just like, ignore that little weasel. To be honest, that's what I said to him. And wow. I don't use, that's not one of my, a word that I normally use, but it seems to fit. And the reason why I say that is because he's been dismissive of Michigan and our program since Juwan mm-hmm. got there. And even after the game, by addressing our point guard as the little guy, his name is Mike Smith, you know, right. And that level of disrespect, as you mentioned, Juwan got fed up. And mm-hmm. I believe a comment may have gotten made about Juwan's banners being taken down while putting this year's banners up. And I think mm-hmm. that comment alone gave you the chance to see Juwan Howard fire-breathing dragon, because Juwan is cool. And you never seen him without a haircut. You never seen him without a crease in his pants. Huh. Like, this is when we were in college and he had a full goatee like a grown man in eighth grade. Like, so he was always, like, even though we were the same age, I always felt like he was like 5 years older than me. Like, he's wow. that responsible, that disciplined, and that mature. So for him to act like that during a game, I know that Mark must have been acting like a little weasel.
Well, I have gotten to cover him a lot through the Big Ten Network. I'm a big Juwan Howard fan. He is, like you said, just cool cucumber, kind, thoughtful, really big fan. But do you think that now when you watch your coach go to bat for you, that does well for teams and they already love him? But do you think this will define their tourney run?
It does two things. And yes, ma'am, I think it can help define their tourney run to not only rally behind Juwan, but rally for Isaiah, who's going to be there to cheer for the team. But it not only gains enthusiasm in your locker room, it really helps with recruits. Mm-hmm. Mm, because just right. like you guys, those parents and those scholar athletes were at home watching the game. And you're like, you know what? That's the kind of guy I want to go play for also.
For sure.
And so I'm not surprised that we have the number one recruiting class coming into Ann Arbor next year. And I love John Beilein. Everything he did for the program, I am very grateful. I was there when they played against Louisville in the finals. He welcomed me back on campus really after I hadn't necessarily been there, but maybe once or twice since I left school. So I have a great deal of respect for the players that he produced that are currently balling in the league. My little brothers, Caris LeVert, Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke. I know I'm going to leave people off, but the point I'm trying to make, though, is he was recruiting a different type of player. He was recruiting the player that could be a junior and a senior. That was his niche. I felt, and I said this, and some people kind of took it the wrong way, that if Juwan got the job, this is way before he even got the gig, mm-hmm. that he would be in the room of McDonald's All-Americans.
Right.
Because as an alum, I worked at McDonald's game for 5 straight years. And you know what frustrated me? None of those kids were considering Michigan. Mm. None of them. I sat there for 5 straight yeah. years and was like,
wow.
I'm like, what's happening? And so
yeah, they're stamping that's their ticket what I'm proud to Dukes and Juwan. Kentucky's and Kansas. Yeah.
Yes.
Man.
Absolutely.
Total program shift.
Exactly. And now two teams you just mentioned, Duke and Kentucky, outside looking in, watching the NCAA tournament. This is another thing. As a player, see, I get 3 years to win a championship, but Jim Boeheim gets 40 years to win a championship.
Right.
Or Tom Izzo or some of these or Coach Cal. Those squads and those coaches don't necessarily look as dominant when they don't have the best players. Like, ooh. It's absolutely. One thing to have the NBA littered with Duke players, littered with Kentucky players. So they still have a lot of talent on their team right now. But when they have the best players, then you expect them to go to the Final Four and win a championship. It was a stark difference this year when you saw that they didn't, quote unquote, have the best players.
Right.
And last time Juwan Howard, last time Michigan was a one seed was 1993, and y'all went all the way to the national championship game. Do you think Michigan has that opportunity now? I don't even know why I'm asking you this. You're going to say yes.
I am going to say yes. But I'll tell you this. I would flat out pick us to win it if we had Isaiah. I would bet MGM on it if we had Isaiah. Straight up. Like, I you'd be like, Jalen already using his promo code. He ain't playing around. For real, for real. But without him, I'm a lot more hesitant. Because I respected our journey in the Big Ten, as you mentioned. You had 10 teams or so make the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And all of those teams are really good. Gonzaga's really good. Baylor, I think they struggled to close out the season, but they're really good. So in a season where it's going to be every team playing in Indiana, no travel, limited fans, it's really going to be a shotgun NCAA tournament. If you thought your brackets were busted before, oh, you better fill out about five of them. You better fill out about five of them. Because it's going to be so unpredictable about really what's going to happen.
Olivia was saying that. She said, this is the year that you can pick based not on the court stuff. Pick on the mascot. Pick on the city with the better food. It doesn't matter because this year things will be a little bit different. So it's funny that you say that.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the beauty of March Madness. That's what we're getting excited for. Just a one and done, like one shining moment that could take place. And each time this year, I always give thanks when I watch young people celebrate winning their conference tournament, celebrate making it to the NCAA tournament. Because here's what happened the more you play sports. People diminish everything you've accomplished. So now it'll be like, well, yeah, y'all made it to the tournament, but y'all didn't win it all, right? Mm. The same thing when you get to the league. It's like, well, you got one ring, but such and such got four. And then what ends up happening is fans and media start to cover sports like it's only like 10 successful people. They distill everything that has happened down to only counting championships. If you notice, any conversation you have about best players only just become who got the most rings.
Yep.
That's what the conversation becomes.
This person got that many.
It could be Tom Brady. It could be Michael Jordan and LeBron. As soon as that conversation comes up. So I just want to salute all of the young people and the coaches out there. It was great to see Patrick Ewing make it to the NCAA tournament. And by the way, let me just get this off my chest. I am happy to see the New York Knicks doing well. I have a couple of friends in their front office. Scott Perry is a fellow Detroiter. That's like my older brother. He coached me 1 year in college. My junior year. Like, we're that close. William Wesley, I gave him the nickname worldwide. And I knew I made it when Drake dropped it in a song. Like, those are my people. Steve Stout, that's my man. I'm happy for Leon Rosen. But let's not act like the Knicks didn't do Spike Lee wrong. Let's not act like Mr. Dolan, James Dolan, didn't do Charles Oakley wrong. That happened.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to ignore that either.
Can I just say, though, the bar is pretty low if we're celebrating the fact, and I'm a New Yorker born and raised, right? We're celebrating the fact that the Knicks are doing quote unquote well, and they're the seven seed in the East right now. Why do we celebrate? Is the bar that low that we celebrate a seven seed?
I just said it. Expectations are none. They have no expectations. And so when the Nets bring in KD, Kyrie, and Harden, it's like, oh, we in trouble. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be another one of those down years. What are we going to do as Knicks fans? And you guys, I work in New York, South Seaport. So I see them celebrating the 500 record. I see the Julius Randle for MVP signs. I see the jerseys in the streets. And so New York is, and I don't have to tell you, it has a different heartbeat when the teams are good, though. Like when the Yankees are good.
It does.
When the Knicks are good. Yeah, it's a different heartbeat. And while the Nets are going to be the team that captures, you know, the country and the world, the most popular team in New York, and Speedy will tell you, is still the Knicks.
Of course.
Still the Knicks.
And if I'm being honest, it probably will always be that way. I don't know that I can see it ever really shifting, unless it's a like the younger generation, you know, is super heavy Nets fans, and then the, you know, the older people just kind of taper off as Knicks fans. But the most popular team is still far and away the New York Knicks.
Absolutely. Because the Nets and the Clippers still don't have to always fight the stink of being considered the JV teams in their own market.
Right, right.
Both of those teams have to fight that. The B teams in their own market, exactly.
Now, Jalen, let me ask you this. You know, you spoke a bit about your Wolverines and watching a bunch of college basketball. Now, when you watch collegiate basketball today, are you able to see your influence on the court? Are you able to see the Fab Five's influence in today's game, whether it's on the collegiate level or the NBA level? And when I say influence, you know, I'm talking the Black Sox and just the overall swag on the court. Do you see it? Do you notice it?
So I'm about to make it personal because I am a part of the MGM family. I don't want y'all to get sad when I say this, but as you bring this up, I have to start from the root. Like, it's been a tough year for my family. Like, the last maybe 13 months, I lost my eldest brother on February 3rd of 20. And then I lost my grandmother. She was 103. God bless her soul. She was such an angel.
God bless her.
And then February 2nd of 21, I lost my mother. And so, like, just a couple of months removed from that, and my family still obviously dealing with the pain from her loss. As you ask me about the influence of college basketball, the number one thing is Jeannie Rose created the name Jalen. And it ain't even just college basketball. It's everywhere in society. I'm in Orlando right now, just at a 7-Eleven. And respectfully, there was an older woman trying to do a deposit at an ATM at a 7-Eleven. And I was helping her out. I was like, you know, you got to go to a bank to do that, whatever, whatever. And I kind of Googled the closest bank and, you know, tried to help her out. But I didn't realize that she wasn't in the 7-Eleven by herself. And then another guy came, was probably in his 20s. And he was like, what you want me to grab? She was like, well, I know Jalen like to eat those chips.
And you like, I don't like these chips.
I was kind of in a rush. So I didn't even have a time to really even kind of get into it. Like, I was wearing my mask. I was trying to go do the show. And so a lot of people may or may not know is that my biological father, his name is Jimmy Walker. He was the number one pick in the 1967 NBA draft. He died in the mid-2000s. He played in the backcourt with Dave Bing. I never met him, but I did go to his funeral. My uncle Leonard took my mother to the hospital to give birth. So initially she was going to call me James or Jason. And I'm glad she didn't, because those don't hit the same. Instead, she chose to combine the two names, James and Leonard. And that's actually where the name came from. And so there are going to be people like, oh, somebody biblical had the name in 1800 or whatever, whatever. My mother created the name, and I'm the oldest Jalen. And if you notice, each Jalen that you now see is in their 20s, and it started at Michigan. So imagine when I'm working the NBA draft and Jaylen Brown gets picked by the Celtics, or I'm watching NFL and the Jaguars take Jalen Ramsey, or Jalen Hurt for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Or Jalen Suggs about to get picked in the draft coming up.
Three of the top five or six players in next year's draft, or this year's draft, they're named Jalen.
That's a great story.
Influence.
That influence is as much as we're going to, of course, talk about the iconic influence of the Fab Five, but that right there is the most influential thing that happened from that situation. The Jalen is now a common name, and my mother created it.
Wow.
The other thing that I see as our influence, it's a personality thing. Like, college basketball used to be so stiff, and it was all about the coaches. And they never allowed players to play with personality or laugh. I remember we were playing at Northwestern. Valentine is his last name, the referee. And we had just did a nice play. I dropped it off to Jimmy, and he went and dunked it. And we were jumping up, and we was laughing. He came to our huddle, said, y'all need to cut that out, or I'm going to give you a tech. Like, that's how different the game was. And then the other thing the influence of hip hop. See, mm-hmm. the marriage of the Fab Five and hip hop happened at the same time when sports actually start to embrace rap music, when they realize they can make money off of it. Initially, the true kickoff was when the Bad Boys won back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
And You Can't Touch This was the model, and Hammer was the number one artist in the world. That's really when sports started to embrace rap music. The only music we heard in the arena was like, Woot, There It Is, or Montel Jordan, This Is How We Do It. You know, like, that was the only, like, we used to bring CDs, we used to bring tapes to Chrysler Arena for them to play. So the influence of hip hop, and then the personality, hip hop, the name, and then lastly, the fashion.
Yeah.
You know, being able to express yourself. And imagine if we could have trademarked that.
Right.
Whew. Imagine if, when we went to the mall, they were not selling black socks. It was like three pairs.
Oh my gosh.
When we played at Rice, I had on dress socks on top of my white socks. And so that's another thing that's changed, is young people now have a business acumen and an awareness of how to market themselves and get paid off of it. When I was in college, I didn't know I had a credit score. I ain't know. I didn't know. So those are a few of the things.
Then this goes in a totally different direction. I was not even thinking I'd ask you about that, but it lends itself there. Name, image, and likeness is going to totally change the game. It's going to be a pro league. What are your thoughts?
I think that it's a little too late to save the quality of the college game, though.
Okay. Mm.
Because it's already started to lose the top players to the G League, to going overseas.
Right.
The players that go to college now, for the most part, in a lot of ways, it's usually going to be, I think I just saw Jalen Suggs talking about this with Gonzaga, is he dreamed about playing in the NCAA tournament.
Yep, mm-hmm. In his post-game presser. Yep.
Yep. Or players like Cade Cunningham, they just want to be a part of the NCAA tournament because it's so outstanding, and it's a game-changing and a life-changing platform. But those top players that could actually benefit off of that are going to be entering the draft because one and done's about to come back. So really, right. It's going to be the secondary players that are not necessarily getting the bigger deals that the other players would get. So yes, if I'm, you know, a senior at Michigan, now if you make it to your senior year, they assume that it's because you're not as good.
Right.
You see fewer and fewer four-year performers going to the NBA and, you know, have this kind of success of a Draymond Green or a Tim Duncan or whoever. So what's going to happen is you're going to have those juniors and seniors that have been around for a long time that will get a chance to take advantage of the local love. So if you play for Alabama in football or Georgia, or if you play at Ohio State in football, they'll be able to benefit locally. They won't get in trouble for getting free tattoos like Terrell Pryor and them did, or, right. You know, have to steal gear. We used to steal our gear. Think about this. We used to steal our own gear. They didn't give us anything.
Not anymore.
Correct. Yeah. And I'm happy about it. And I'm happy for the young people to get a chance to do what everybody else in any other profession is able to do. Actually profit off of their name, image, and likeness.
Right.
I'm totally with you. And I think it will be good for the sport overall. Like you said, keeping the top talent, maybe just that one extra year. Like I said, if you were going to be a one and done at Michigan, but now you just signed a $500,000 deal with Ford, you might stay in Michigan another year, right?
Correct.
Let your body continue to develop, make a long tournament run, for sure.
Well, they used to keep those relationships separate.
Yeah.
There were certain schools.
Separate.
Yes. They would keep those relationships separate. Yeah, but also separate with me, like, you knew the boosters existed. You knew those relationships with the car dealers and all of that existed, but it was filtered. It was filtered through. It was like, we love you, Jalen, but we love you because you go to Michigan. You know what I'm saying? And so now you want to remove that filter. Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Jalen, I got to ask you something else. Make this number four on my list of things we have in common. We have a mutual friend in Reggie Miller. I've known Reggie since I was young. He does NBA games with my dad, Kevin Harlan, on TNT. And I've known Reggie since I was like in middle school, and he's one of my favorite people. And I texted him and I told him you were coming on our show. And I said, is there something you want me to ask him about? Obviously, y'all were teammates with Indiana. Mm-hmm. He said, ask him about the second round playoff games versus AI and the 76ers. I think you both went off for over 40 in one game, you and Reggie. Mm-hmm. And he said the shit talking in that game was as good as there's ever been. You've got to fill me in. What happened?
First off, I love your dad. I've known him for a long time, and he's a GOAT.
Awesome.
And he's still killing it.
Thanks.
Reggie's my big brother, mentor, leader. I learned so much from him on and off the floor. But the number one thing I learned from him on the floor is I always had the ball. So in high school, I was like a forward or a point forward. In college, I was a point guard. But when you get to the league, Mark Jackson gonna have the ball, Jalen. Mm.
Yeah.
Travis gonna have the ball, Jalen. We know you can be the backup point guard, but we want to have you and Reggie out there. And so Reggie helped me learn how to come off screens. I wasn't necessarily a guy that was able to like do come off single doubles and did a lot of flares and do a lot of stuff like that. And so, and moving without the ball, he and Rip Hamilton, Ray Allen, like guys are just constant motion out there. Steph Curry in today's game. The game that he's talking about, that was personal because Larry Brown was our coach. His final year was 97, 98, or 96, 97. And he gave me 15 DNPs that year. Whew. 15 DNPs. Real. I had just came from Denver where I was starting in the playoffs. I was starting in the playoffs against the San Antonio Spurs. They had the best record in the league. I got traded to the Pacers. He didn't like me. I don't know why. It happens in the league. It happens in your profession. And his goal was to break me. He told me that. He'll admit it to this day. You know what I'm saying? And so after that season, Larry left. He coached 9 teams. That was his thing, kind of next town Brown. That's what they used to call it. And so when he left Indiana, he was lining it up so he could go coach AI, like the next thing in his mind, right? Because that's kind of what he was on. Because Billy King, one of our assistant coaches, ended up getting a GM job in Philly. And so that next season, Larry Bird became our coach. And Larry Bird, Rick Carlisle, they allowed me to hoop. And so, of course, we play Philly in the playoffs. And so you know that's personal. Yep. And only maybe 4 or 5 times in the history of the league in the playoffs that two teammates have 40 in the same game. And it was great to do that to Larry. It meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me because when you're challenged, how are you going to respond? You're going to cry about it or you're going to do something about it? And I was like, if I ever get a chance to play against one of his teams, I'm going to go off. And not only did we go off that game, I think we swept them that year, or of like 4-1, I believe. And so that was probably my favorite playoff series of all time.
Well, now that's a great story and all, but I think you're skirting my question. What was the shit talk? I need to know details.
It was all screw you, Larry.
Okay.
It was all F-bombs to everybody in the gym.
Yeah.
It was, you know, kicking it at Delilah's in Philly. Big shout, Philly. What up, though? No, but in all honesty, like, I got big time respect for AI, Aaron McKee. I played against Blue Aaron McKee in college. He went to Temple. I played against Eric Snow. He went to Michigan State. George Lynch was on the Carolina team that beat us in the championship. So I had love and respect for the players on the team, but I was yelling at Larry. They know I was yelling at him.
At him.
Yeah, I was. And I stopped cursing 2 years after that. I got it all off my chest those couple of years. I promise you I did.
That's beautiful.
That's a great story.
And such an amazing story. Jalen, thank you so much for joining us, bro. Based on, we really set the tone for this first episode. We're going to need you back on the show, so I hope you're down.
Congratulations. I appreciate the love. You guys are about to crush it. I'll come back on anytime. This is a fun space, and I want to tell you guys something about the podcast space.
Yeah, you're a pro now. You got to tell us.
Yeah.
Actually, an innovator in that space, too. Jalen and Jacoby in August will be 10 years.
Oof, 10 years for that show.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And we started as a podcast that we were doing once a week, then twice a week, then five times a week. And then ESPN started to put us on ESPN News. Then they started to put us on ESPN 2. And now we're on ESPN. So everybody that now can go download podcasts on Apple and Spotify, we were doing it on Periscope.
Periscope.
We were doing it on YouTube.
RIP Periscope.
Exactly. We were doing it on Periscope. And so welcome to the space. Y'all about to crush it.
Thanks so much, Jalen.
Thank you, man. I appreciate those words.
Appreciate the love.
And prayers for your family. So sorry about the loss of your mom in a tough year. So we're thinking about you and your family.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we are wrapping things up on this week's show with our Lions Lock, where our guy from BetMGM, Peter Andrew, gives you all of the insider knowledge about which picks are worth your money and which ones you may want to hold off on. Peter, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Yeah, good, guys. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, this part, everyone will want to pay very close attention, take notes, make sure you've got your bracket in front of you because, you know, this is when the competition starts with your friends, with your coworkers, whatever. So, Peter, we have talked so much about Illinois and Gonzaga in particular. Baylor in the South has, I think, a tougher road to get there. And I want to start with a big upset I'm looking at. 12 seed Winthrop over 5 seed Villanova. I know you like this one, too. Nova's without their top two scorers. Winthrop's been on a roll. They've beaten their last three opponents by an average of 26 points. Why is this such a safe bet? And is it, dare I say, a lock?
Yeah, Winthrop, regardless of what conference you're coming from, you're a one-loss team. You're a dangerous tournament team. I think you combine some of their skill, some of their depth, with a Colin Gillespie-less Villanova team. I think Villanova's in for some trouble. You saw what happened in against Georgetown in the Big East tournament. They struggled mightily. I think plus 225 having a Winthrop money line, I think, is a good pick, and I feel pretty good about it.
Okay, mark that down, everyone. But now, selfishly, I have a couple.
Don't move too fast. I'm writing these down. Okay, we got Winthrop upsetting Villanova. Okay, what else?
You got that one, Speedy. Selfishly, I've got a couple big question marks. And this is where everyone struggles in their bracket is like the 8s versus 9s or the 10s versus 7s. You know, so a big question mark I have in my bracket sticking with the South is 9 seed Wisconsin, 8 seed North Carolina. What should I go with there?
Yeah, this is one I think I'm pretty confident on. I think both teams are going in two different directions. UNC looked pretty good to wrap up ACC tournament, tough loss against Florida State. I think they lost by 3. And you have Wisconsin, which is going the opposite direction. I like UNC here. It's currently at 1.5. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets juiced up a little bit more. So I'd take it early while you can. I think they're trending in the right direction. They could be a Sweet 16 team.
Okay, I am clicking on North Carolina because I had put Wisconsin, so I'm glad to hear you say that. Just real quick, moving over to the Midwest, because Speedy's a Syracuse guy. A lot of people are liking 6 seed San Diego State over 11 seed Syracuse. Is there any hype to that? Should we fall for that?
Yeah.
I hope not.
I'm a known Syracuse hater as a St. John's grad. I apologize because this might offend you guys, but I love...
It's all good. St. John's is in Queens, so I'm from Queens, so we can agree on that.
There we go. I like it. I really like a lot of those Mountain West teams, San Diego State being one of them. I think they have a great opportunity to knock off Syracuse and move on. Syracuse wrapped up the season looking strong, but I think some of those underrated teams on the West Coast, I think, could pull into the Sweet 16 as well.
Okay, that's good stuff. Obviously, COVID is such a factor this season. We don't know who from UVA or KU and potentially other teams can even field a team with. So I know a lot of people are looking at 13 Ohio over 4 UVA. So if UVA is shorthanded, is that a bet you would take?
Yeah. You know, these teams, they're deep. Even when some of their starters aren't there, they're still a good team. But guys like Ohio with Jason Preston, he's a future first round pick in the NBA. I think they have an opportunity to pull it out. I wouldn't put it as a guarantee. But a couple of these mid-major teams are really, really good. So I'd circle that one as a big question mark, but certainly opportunity to beat them and move into the round of 32.
And then one seed Michigan, you know, they're without Isaiah Livers. He's undetermined of when he's returning. So it might be until, look, they could play Florida State later on. But in their second meeting, which is probably LSU, unless you're a St. Bonnie's guy, I don't know. I should probably ask you that first. But Michigan without Livers, how far do they go?
Yeah, I'm with you on LSU first off.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of the direction Michigan has gone the last couple of weeks. Couple tough losses. Obviously, losing a big body is really important, especially this time of the year. From the start, I've liked Illinois out of the Big Ten. So I'm just not a fan of Michigan at this point. They look like they've been struggling a little bit. You could see it in the players' reactions. They just look a bit frustrated. So Michigan is on my stay away from list.
Oh, wow. Good to know. Any other big upsets that could cash in pretty favorably for our listeners?
Not so much an upset, but one that I think a lot of people will be 50-50 on, which is the UConn-Maryland game. I think don't sleep on UConn. I think James Bouknight, the rest of the squad, I think they come into tournament time with a purpose. I mean, we've seen a couple of those UConn teams in the past. I would not be surprised if they handily take care of Maryland first round. They'll have Bama, I believe, second round, which will be a tough task. But I like them moving on at least into the weekend, Sunday and Monday.
And Peter, let me just ask you this. You've kind of bounced around the bracket. We bounced into a bunch of different regions. But across the whole bracket, which team do you like the best?
Yeah, I'm going to get yelled at by some of my call workers for going with the chalk. But Gonzaga is just, they're so complete of a team. I mean, you look at a guy like Jalen Suggs, arguably the best freshman this year. I think you can make a comparison of him and Cade Cunningham. But you got him, you have Kispert, you have Timmy. I mean, really, really well-rounded team. They play defense, I think, as a team. I think that's a big, important factor there. And they just have such a good inside-out game. It's hard to go against them. I know, like I said, I'm going with the chalk here, picking the team that hasn't lost yet this year. But that's for really good reason. And the best thing that could happen to them was some adversity in the WCC title game against BYU. Going down 10 at half, having to claw their way back, and then end up winning by 12 points. I think really, really important for the team to be successful going into the tournament.
I know I'm talking to two guys from the Northeast when you say Gonzaga. Am I alone saying Gonzaga? Oh,
sorry, Gonzaga.
That's like
tomato, tomato.
That's like I get yelled at
tournament,
for saying
tournament.
I say Nevada, but it's apparently Nevada. And same deal.
Tell me you say Oregon and not Oregon.
Yeah, I haven't said Oregon since I called it the Oregon Trail.
Oh.
And Peter, one last one. Do you say tournament or do you say tournament?
I usually stay away from that one and just say tourney because I don't know which one's right.
Thank you. But
look, even there, you said it wrong.
Stem
you said tourney.
Was tourney. No. I don't know about wrong. Regional, maybe.
Yeah, fair enough. I got some things to work on for next time.
Gonzaga is going to win the NCAA tournament.
I hope they win the tournament so that you will be right on your prediction. Peter, thank you so much for joining us, bro.
Absolutely, guys. Happy to be on and good luck the rest of the tournament.
Well, Olivia, that's it. It's cemented. Episode one is in the books. That was really, really fun. Did you have a good time?
I really did. And just looking ahead at the sports schedule, we have so much to talk about these next couple months. I can't wait to do a deep dive into the drafts and the Masters and MLB season. We've got so much to talk about, Speedy.
So much so that people are going to want to keep up with you even when we're not on the show. So where can people follow you if they want some more Olivia?
Yeah, Speedy, I am a good millennial. I am all over social media. Just ask my family, probably too much over social media. I just got a TikTok recently, so I'm excited about that. That's at Olivia Decker on Instagram, at Olivia Harlan Decker on Twitter, at Olivia Decker.
Awesome. Well, if you'd like to follow me, you can find me on all social platforms at Speedy Mormon, M-O-R-M-A-N. And for more from BetMGM, you can follow them at BetMGM on Instagram and Twitter. Or check out their site, sports.mgm.com. And look, we're only asking for one favor, okay? If you like the show, leave us a review of the show on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, make sure to follow us there and wherever else you listen to podcasts.